Did you ever have that moment when you're reading the Bible and something just suddenly clicks? Something becomes clearer to you than it was before. I had one of those moments when I was preparing for this sermon for today from our Old Testament reading in the book of Jonah. Because in Jonah, Jonah had just seen a miracle. God had caused Nineveh to repent. An entire city that had never known the name of God now turned away from their sins and turned towards him. And God had done an even greater miracle. He forgave them. He turned away from his anger and he relented of the disaster that he said that he was going to bring upon them. All of this should be a cause for rejoicing. It's always a good thing when God shows mercy. It's always something that should bring us joy. But Jonah isn't happy. In fact, Jonah is quite angry. And he goes to a booth that he has made on the east side of the city. And he sits and he seems to sulk there because of what has happened. He's waiting to see what is going to happen to Nineveh. And this was always the part that is the most confusing. Perhaps the most confusing thing out of all of the book of Jonah. Why does he act this way? After all, he's just seen the power of God at work. He's seen that entire city repent. And God gave to his preaching a power that preachers could only dream of. 120,000 people repent even before he's had a chance to talk to all of them. Jonah should be happy. But he's not. He's angry. So why is he acting this way? And the answer that I usually came to when I read this before was that Jonah didn't want them to listen. That Jonah was angry because God had shown them mercy at all. And it makes sense, I mean, because Nineveh in those days was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And when Jonah was alive, the Assyrians were beginning to expand. Just 50 years later, the Assyrians would conquer the northern kingdom, destroy it, and carry away its people into exile. We could understand if Jonah didn't want them to be shown mercy. They were the greatest enemies of God's people in those days. And that's certainly something that we need to hear. I mean, after all, we don't want to be stingy with our mercy either. But it just didn't quite fit. Because it doesn't really explain why anything else happens in the chapter. If that's the case, what's the point of the plant? Why would God use this particular lesson if that is why Jonah is angry? So those were the kinds of questions that I was wrestling with as I prepared this sermon for today. But as I went about my studies, I came across an old preacher who lived a couple hundred years ago. And he pointed out a couple of things that I hadn't noticed before, especially in verse 2 of our reading, which says this: "And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country?'" The first thing to note here is that Jonah prayed. Whatever else we may say about what he's doing here, whatever else we may say about why he's angry, he prays. It shows that he is not an unrighteous man. He is still faithful to the Lord his God. So it is not hatred that moves him to anger, but rather a concern. Because a concerned man will still pray to the Lord. One who hates his brother will not pray because he is not in God. Well, then what is his concern? What's moving him to act like this? Well, he tells us in the first part of his prayer. He says, "While I was yet in my country." My country, he says. His concern is not about Nineveh. They're not really even on his mind. His concern is for his own people. It is Israel, not Assyria, that is causing him to act in this way. So what did that all mean? Well, this is the point when it finally clicked. Jonah's concerned about what is going to happen when he goes back to his own people. He's concerned about what Israel is going to say about this situation. He's not worried about gossip. Let's get that out of the way right away. He is still a righteous man. Rather, he's concerned about how this is going to look in the eyes of God's people, especially because Israel had very often turned away from the Lord and had not been faithful to him. What is this going to say about God? How will people look at him because of this? Because God had used Jonah to preach a very mighty message to Nineveh. Yet 40 days, he says, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And Jonah had not said, unless you do this, or anything like that. Jonah's message to them was only one of judgment. And yet Nineveh had listened. They repented of their sins. And God turned away from his anger. And he forgave them. Because is he not gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love? So there was no disaster after all. But did that mean that God lied? That God said one thing and that he actually did another? And if that's the case, what are his people going to think? That God can't be trusted? That maybe they're going to continue to turn away from him even more, and this is going to cause even more problems because they won't want to listen to Jonah at all. So maybe it would be better, Jonah thinks, if God had destroyed Nineveh. Maybe it would be better if God had followed through on what he said he was going to do. Because then Israel would pay attention. Then they would listen to the Lord their God and repent, and everything would be better. It's not a good look, God. I'm not really quite sure what you're doing here. I'd rather you had done something else, he says. And so, because I'm not really sure how to deal with it, it's better for me to be with you than it is to face what is to come. That's what Jonah was wrestling with there by the city of Nineveh. But seeing Jonah in this way, Christians, made me see myself. Because now what Jonah did hit a lot closer to home. Because if we think of Jonah in the other way, that Jonah's just being bitter about Nineveh, well, then we can kind of make excuses for ourselves. No, I don't act that way. I don't feel that way towards any group of people. So why would Jonah do that? It's just not something that I do. But now Jonah is not so different. Because how often have I wondered about God, about what God is doing? How often have I been impatient with something that was happening in my life? Wishing that God had done something different, that he had acted in some other way. I mean, we see a world falling apart around us, for example. Wouldn't it be better if God did this or if God did that? Why did he let it get to this point? Why would he let it go this way? Why not do something different in order to change what is happening around us? And so I find myself like Jonah, withdrawing to sit beside the city, wondering what's going to happen to it in the days ahead. And it doesn't just have to be that. It could be anything. Some major change that is happening in my life, and I'm wondering why it's happening, why it had to go this way. Something that I'm suffering, and I'm not really quite sure why God would let this happen. I'm a lot more like Jonah than I care to admit. And it becomes a lot like Peter with Jesus, too. Because Jesus told Peter that he would have to go to the cross, that Jesus had to suffer and die at the hands of the Gentiles. And Peter wanted to say to him, no, Lord, don't do it this way. This isn't what you should be doing. Do it some other way. Do it in a way that makes sense to me. Do it in a way that is what I would do. And so we're not so different after all. But God shows mercy to Jonah, a mercy no less wonderful than the mercy he showed to Nineveh. He says in verse 4, "Do you do well to be angry?" God is not exploding in wrath here. God is not rebuking Jonah for what he said, but rather he is teaching him something about the wisdom of his ways. And so as Jonah is sitting there, focused entirely on his thoughts, God causes a plant to grow up over him in a single night. And this plant provides shade for Jonah from the hot sun of that area. And Jonah was very happy for the plant while it was still alive. Everything seemed to be going good. Everything made sense to him. This is what he would expect God to do. The plant became very dear to him indeed. But God took the plant away. The very next morning, he sent a worm that destroyed the plant, which caused it to wither and to die. And God sent upon Jonah the hot east wind and the hot sun which beat down on his head. And all of Jonah's frustrations came back. This isn't how things should be going. This isn't how I want God to be acting. So it would be better for me to die than it is to live. And God said to him in verse 9, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." Notice that God says, "for the plant." It is Jonah's concern for the plant that is the issue now. This is what he is struggling with. It is one more thing that has gone wrong for him in the world. But God patiently teaches him. He says, "You pity the plant, even though it was in no sense your own. You did not plant it. You did not water it. You did not tend to it or care for it. You did not cause it to grow. And yet you pity it because now it is gone. And should not I, says the Lord, pity Nineveh, which is in every sense my own, filled with 120,000 people that are the work of my hands, says the Lord, people who are made in my image, who do not know their right hand from their left, because I, the Lord, do not desire the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways and live. So was it wrong for me, says the Lord, to show mercy to Nineveh? Was it wrong for me to do this, to turn away from the disaster that I said was going to happen? No. I, the Lord, have done what is best, even if it seems like weakness to the world. So do not be angry, Jonah. Go back to your home, trusting that I will lead you in the right way in the days ahead, because all my ways are best. And Christians, Jonah shows us that there are often times when we too may question God's wisdom, when we ask why he did this and not that. But Jonah also shows us that God's ways are always good. All that he does is the best, even if we can't see how. Because God gives us every good thing through Jesus Christ, his Son. So we should not fret about a world which seems to be falling apart. Because through it, God is teaching us to turn away from this world which is perishing, and to turn towards him in all things. We should not worry about changes that happen in our life when everything seems to have gone wrong, because God has brought us safely this far. He's not going to give up on us now. We should not chafe under the crosses that he lays upon us, all the things that we suffer in our lives. Because God lays these things upon us to make us more and more like his Son. So we should trust in him. Let him worry about what to do. Let him worry about what is right. Because all of his ways are good, Christians. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us pray. O Almighty God, who guides us in all of our ways and who directs all of our steps, grant us patience through the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that we may always trust in your wisdom, knowing that you will do what is best, even when we cannot see the way. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.